Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I must be Wayne.
You are Wayne. And this is episode 61.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a lot of episodes.
That is a lot of episodes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's almost as old as I am.
Almost. You just had a birthday, too, this week.
I did. Mm-hmm. Yep, 32 again.
Yes, 32
and again.
And again. And again. No. Anyway, just joking. But anyway, today... we're going to be reviewing an article from crosswalk.com. It is by Amanda Eidelman, and the title of the article is 5 Ways to Encourage Your Spouse After a Bad Day at Work. And as always, I will post the link for this in the podcast description so that you can access it and visit it again. So you've had to put up with a lot of this from me the last almost year now.
Well, the last several months.
Yes, many, many months. So,
well, and it's kind of, you've done the same for me too over the years as well.
Yes.
Fortunately, we don't usually have one of those days at the same time.
Yes, fortunately we don't.
But that does happen.
Right. What's the scripture we're going to use today, Wayne?
We are going to use Galatians 6:2 out of the Amplified, which is carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ, that is, the law of Christian love.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one. Carry one another's burdens in love.
Yep.
So when I realized, I said, which scripture are we going to use? It's which scripture are we referencing today? We try to thoughtfully look at scriptures and see what fits with the topic without making it fit. We don't try to make scripture do what we want it to do. We try to line up what we're doing with the scripture. So anyway, just wanted to clarify that. But so this article, 5 Ways to Encourage Your Spouse After a Bad Day at Work. I love how she started it. She started with the sentence, adulting can be hard sometimes.
Amen.
And she goes on to talk about, as much as we try not to let our work life get in the way of enjoying our home life, our time together with our family, it's almost impossible to completely separate the two. And especially when there are particularly trying circumstances. And that's what I was saying. I have had the last few months, I have been dealing with something I have never dealt with before. I have had, I'm a supervisor, a manager of a department, and I have had multiple staff people who are at odds with each other. I think what's been the most difficult thing is how some of the staff people are treating another staff person has just blown me away. Like, I never expected this from my team, and I was just so shocked by it. And so it's been a process. It's involved HR. It's involved employee counseling. It's involved all kinds of things, and just made work not a very fun place to go for a number of months. And I thank the Lord it seems to be settling out, and we're actually doing some training in the workplace to help with these situations, to help people learn to work together better. And I mean, it's just been difficult. So I've just come home from work a lot of days where I'm emotionally exhausted. I am just emotionally exhausted. I'm very glad that we're not raising a child at this point in time. I don't know that I would have any energy left for them, because I find that I have very little energy for anything left after a particularly trying day of this situation. You know, and I can't even imagine for families that are in the midst of childbearing, and perhaps you're the spouse, and typically it's moms that stay home, but not always. Dads stay home sometimes too. Our son-in-law stayed home with the twins after they were born for several months. And, you know, you are cooped up at home with a bunch of little kids, and your husband's been at work, or your wife's been at work, and you're the husband cooped up at home with little kids, and you've had a different set of stressors. And, you know, it can be it can be a fine line of dealing, helping each other deal with the stress with keeping a calm and peaceful home environment. Not that it's going to be quiet if you have little kids, but at least that you feel that you can support your spouse. Because it's can't, and I always say, I can deal with stress at home or I can deal with stress at work, but I don't do well if I've got stress at home and at work. So this is why it's really important to work at how to support your spouse when they're going through a difficult time at the job. So they gave five ways that are encouraging, and this is beyond, you know, that the author mentions that sometimes just a quick prayer together is enough to, if you listen to your spouse, listen to what they have to say, encourage them, give some supportive words, and even just pray together, even if you have 10 minutes to do that, that can be helpful. But there are some other ways that you can help each other out.
So the first one the author talks about is to offer a listening ear. So when your spouse comes home, and we need to, it can be hard to resist the temptation to dive right into dinner time. I know sometimes with some families, I know when we were raising our daughter, a lot of times when we were all home, we just went right into dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But she's saying here that one of the greatest gifts you can offer your partner is to just take a few minutes, take an intentional pause, and give them some undivided attention. When they're trying to express what happened during the day, might be stressing them, what can be frustrating, make sure you listen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't half listen. So don't be, I think what she's saying here is don't be finishing putting the, dinner together or texting or Facebooking or
any of the things we talk about.
All of the stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's, I think when you're upset, it's really frustrating if you are, or you're trying to talk to your spouse about something and you know, you can see or tell that they're only half listening, then it feels like it's like your hurt or frustration or upset, like it's not important, is what that message sends. So, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So if you're upset, I shouldn't get up from the table when we're done eating and start putting the dishes away and putting them in the dishwasher and stuff like that while you're still venting.
No, you shouldn't.
I shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't do that, but you have.
I have.
But I've called you back.
Yes.
We've been married long enough that I call him back and say, come back.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I have still been listening intentively, by the way, while I'm putting the dishes away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, the second step she talks about is offering support, that we need to use encouraging language and, like, reflective feedback to let them know that we're listening to what they have to say and that we're trying to respond to their concerns. And I thought actually part of the first one that Wayne just finished talking about, the last sentence in that is, first let them get it off their chest before trying to help them solve it.
Yep.
Because sometimes with us having very opposite personalities, sometimes what Wayne thinks is helpful is what I feel is helpful was not what I need. And I've learned to say to him, I don't want you to try to fix it. I just want you to listen to me. And that's helped a lot because lots of times when I would start to unload about something, he'd go into protective husband mode.
Well, I would think you were telling me this because you wanted me to do something about
right.
it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I've learned to say, because obviously for most of the work things, he can't do anything about it other than pray with me and for me and listen to me. And I will specifically say, if I want him to come up with a solution for something or help me come up with a solution for something, or if I just want him to listen. And she says in this section on offering support is, to put yourself in the other person's shoes, and that it's not a one-up. It's not a contest. It's not a competition, right? It's not a wall. Oh, you think you're stressed? Well, I was stressed with this. It's not, it's really hard not to compare notes sometimes, but it's not a one-upmanship. It's, she was talking about how her thought was that she said her husband often comes home stressed with his workload, and her automatic thought is at least he got to leave the house without four kids in tow. And she recognized that these kind of thoughts make it impossible for her to be the most supportive person for her husband. And so she needs to pay attention and validate his complaint, even if she thinks in her head that she has it worse than whatever he's going, because she wants him to continue to feel safe around her and confide in her. If you're truly too stressed to be able to offer sympathy or empathy to your spouse, it's best to just express to them that you'll need to have this conversation later when you feel more capable of offering the emotional support that they need. Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay to say and say, you know, I really want to listen to you. I really want to hear what you have to say, but I can't, you know, the stove's on fire or, you know, or whatever. And can we, you know, continue this, but then make sure you continue it. Make sure that you, you know, put the kids off to watch a movie or something. And, or if, you know, it's just two of you, whatever, just take, you know, get a cup of coffee or, you know, a beverage and go find a place to sit together and talk. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you follow up.
Yep. So the third thing she says is to offer advice and ask helpful questions. So apparently what she's talking about is if you did need help,
or if you want help.
So after listening, but that's the important thing, listen first, and then take the time, you know, after taking the time to truly hear your concerns, then offer some helpful advice. And also ask probing questions, not just general questions, but probing questions. You know, provide helpful, you know, some good insight or, you know, suggestions in how to better navigate the different work stressors, different things like that. Just taking time to reflect and ponder and think about how to manage the situation better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then she also gives some questions there that might be helpful to consider. What makes you think this is the case? Would a different response be beneficial in this situation? How does this situation make you feel? I usually don't have to ask that question.
No, you usually pretty much know how I feel about the situation.
I can usually tell.
I have to ask you this question sometimes because,
Yep. And then she also says, you know, she suggests, you know, to say, rather than just throwing suggestions or helpful hints out there, to say, can I offer a suggestion or can I, you know, can I, doing that kind of stuff. And I thought, well, that's good. Yeah. Rather than just saying, well, hey, this, you know.
And just throw it out.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm prone, you know, leaning into giving advice for something, I'll say, this is advice that you can take or leave. Mm-hmm. And then I'll put something out there and go that route.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She also says there, if you ask before offering your advice, that people are more willing to listen to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought that's a good.
Yeah,
that's a good thought.
So the fourth suggestion that the author makes is to encourage your spouse to recharge outside of work. And we've talked about this in other podcasts where it's important to nurture your relationship by doing things together as a couple. But it's also important to nurture yourself, to do self-care for your personal growth and development and spiritual life and your own well-being. And so she, you know, reminds us that we're not our spouse's only place to receive support and advice. And if they have a difficult work situation that can't be changed overnight, I mean, maybe they need some professional support or they need the support of
like a mentor,
or like another business person that might be in the same field of work that your spouse is in. At your church, there might be somebody that you can connect with, a support group, a counselor, a mentor. She also suggests to think of some self-care strategies to employ during the workday and outside the workday. And that, you know, for you to help your spouse maybe come up with a strategy that they could do something to help manage their stress in the situation during the day. I know I try to get up and walk around my office. If I can't get outside for a walk, even if I just walk around the perimeter of the office, our offices are like in a big square. And so sometimes I'll just walk it a couple times, and if people look at me, if I'm going past cubicles or something, I'll just say, I'm just getting my steps, and I go in, but it allows me to get away from the situation, get away from my desk, and sometimes get away from the people, and just, you know, clear my head a little bit, get a little exercise that's good for my body or whatever. Either you can help your spouse work through this together, or you can just suggest that they do something. Ask them, what's something that you could do that would help your stress response, that would help your stress level while you're at work?
While you're at work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the last thing that she suggests in the fifth step is to make your home an oasis, that your home should be an oasis from the stresses of the world. Not that it needs to be perfect. Mm-hmm. We're not talking that it's a showpiece and that it looks perfect, because especially if you have kids, it's not going to look perfect. But that it is a place that feels safe and peaceful and calm. The author says that for her and her husband, it can look like spending an hour at the end of the day once they've put the kids to bed. Mm-hmm. And they snuggle up on the couch together and they watch their favorite comedy shows. So it could be, you know, going for a walk after dinner if your kids are old enough to be by themselves for a while, you know, when the weather's nice outside. This is one that we do at night, typically, probably most nights of the week, not all, but most nights of the week. We sit down and we play cards together. Mm-hmm. We have a couple favorite card games that we like, and we'll sit down and play cards at the kitchen table together. She says, in closing this out, that being intentional about creating space for fun and relaxation in your home as a couple is so important in managing all the weight the world would like to place on our shoulders. And she ends with this scripture. So it actually gives us two scriptures that are applicable to this situation tonight. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And she said, when we face anxiety, distressing circumstances, and difficulties, one of the most powerful things that we can do is to bring our circumstances to the Lord in prayer. We've talked about many times about praying together as a couple and how that is. And so that we not only need to support our partner in this, but we have to take time to bring God into the equation, because he knows what's going on with us and he has the power to work on our behalf.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else you want to add before we close out?
No, ma'am.
Okay. So again, I will put the link for this article in the podcast description so you can access it again. These are some really great suggestions for that. And I guess one suggestion I would say is if the stress is chronic, then really, really consider getting some professional help. Yep. Mm-hmm. We always suggest a counselor, you know, is really good for your marriage or even for your own personal therapy. I've done counseling at different or coaching at different times in my life. I mean, now there's a lot of coaches available, and sometimes they can be a little less expensive than going to a psychologist or a counselor. They're often not licensed, but a lot of them are trained. They have certifications in coaching, and they have, like we do, we're certified John Maxwell coaches, and they have a specialty area. And so it's always good to find a coach either to help you deal with how to deal with the people in the situation or to just deal with those kind of situations in your work in general. So, all right. So hopefully this is helpful. So until we see you again, well, until we're not seeing you
again. Until we talk to you
again. Until we talk to you again next week, we pray that your relationship and your marriages will be richly blessed.
God bless. Bye now.
Bye.